So last week I did a video on Nico Imanlayava, and that was the day after he started his first ever official NIL holdout in college sports history. And since then, we've had a conclusion to the Nico Imanlayava NIL transfer portal saga. And I felt it was good to do a part two because, you know, now that we have the ending, we can sort of paint the full picture of what this story means for the future of college sports and how did the market truly respond to Nico Imanlayava and his NIL holdout. And spoiler, folks, the market did not reward him for that. So I think it's fair to say the grass ain't always greener. But we'll get into that into this video, folks. But first, if you could please like and subscribe down below, I'd greatly appreciate that. And welcome to this next episode of Out of Right Field with JP. And let's get into this video, folks. So Nico Imanlayava had the first ever NIL holdout in college sports history last week, like I said. And it took the college sports world by storm, and especially the college football world, because this was unprecedented. We have a starter at a SEC football program, a starter that just took that team to the college football playoff as the guy, as the starter. Nico was the guy at Tennessee. There was no questions about it. And he was, they were looking to load to have another playoff run. Then Nico decides that he actually wants more money after he signed a four-year contract to Tennessee. We got into all of that in the last video if you want to go check that out. He ends up going into the transfer portal. Tennessee says, we're not having it. After you skip practice, we're done. Go on your way. Best of luck to you. So there were also reports that Nico Imanlayava's dad was sniffing around for what deals he could get. He was talking to Dan Lanning at Oregon, apparently. Also Miami, apparently. And Dan Lanning actually told Josh Heupel that his dad was sniffing around at Oregon looking for a deal to warn him. So I think Tennessee just about had it with Nico, and their hands were kind of tied in terms of any negotiations. But bottom line is, Nico goes into the transfer portal, and he was not rewarded the way I think he was anticipating. I don't know if his dad and his team were anticipating these teams to come flocking to Nico, wanting to do a deal with him because he's just... I think they had a bit of an overinflated sense of Nico's, how much teams would want Nico in the transfer portal. Let's put it that way. Especially after the holdout drama and how Nico and his team went about it. It was not a very attractive thing for teams in the portal to go after Nico and his dad and all of that mess and drama. I wouldn't have touched Nico with a 10-foot pole personally if I was one of those teams. So I think they all made the right decision. However, Nico, as of yesterday, has officially signed to go play at UCLA. The UCLA Bruins just got Nico Imanlayava. And, you know, he's been phrasing this as he's going back home, Nico being from Southern Cal. So, I guess there's that. However, if there's one way to phrase this whole process for Nico and his team, it would be a colossal whiff. A colossal whiff. So, Nico... allegedly, the rumors are out there, reports are out there that Nico has agreed to a $1.5 million NIL contract with UCLA, which, mind you, was less than what he was originally getting paid by Tennessee, and the numbers that caused the whole NIL holdout. Apparently, $2 million a year wasn't enough. So now Nico has signed a $1.5 million NIL contract with UCLA. But not only that, folks. Take into account state income tax in California, that's about $800,000 a year. So Nico, in a state without state income tax of Tennessee, making $2 million a year, now went to UCLA to get $1.5 million a year, and then almost half of that is gone from state income tax. So you are making significantly less money than you were at Tennessee. Significantly less. That is... if this whole thing was about money, which it was, that is a major loss for Nico and his team. Also taking into account UCLA, a far inferior program than Tennessee. Tennessee, like I said, had a chance to make another college football playoff run. And with Nico at the helm, I think it was possible to do that. Now you're going to UCLA where the playoff, college football playoff is not even in the picture, really. It would have to be a miraculous season for UCLA to make the college football playoffs. So it's not in their cards at all. So a way worse team for way less money he's going to phrase this as he's going back home. He already has, which, you know, fair play to him, I guess. If this thing was about him going back home, it was not. And the third thing is a way less fitting offense for Nico. And this is where I think the messaging from Nico's dad and his team has been way off. They've been saying that the reason that Nico left was because Tennessee and Heupel's offensive playing style doesn't fit Nico. Which, okay, last year was a bit of an outlier year for Josh Heupel and his offense. Look at what Josh Heupel has done in the for his entire tenure at Tennessee. Look what he did to Hendon Hooker. He turned Hendon Hooker into one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC with his offense. Fast pace, no huddle, which we saw that a lot of times this year. However, it was a bit bizarre because for some reason, a lot of games, it wasn't that way. It was a bit slower. And, you know, look at the Arkansas game, for example. Tennessee was a good Ohio State, when Tennessee went up there to play Ohio State in the playoff was a great example. So it was a bit bizarre that, you know, the offense wasn't fully powered at times like it was in the past. However, like I said, folks, that last season was an outlier, okay? You can't overlook the entire past of what Josh Heupel's offense has done because last year, for whatever reason, you know, it wasn't that way. And, you know, Nico was behind closed doors. Nico was in practice. Nico was in meetings. He probably has an idea as to why, you know, the game plan and strategy for a lot of those games was that way, and they weren't as, you know, high-paced, fast offense. But even if he didn't know, okay, even if he was thrown for a loop as to why, you know, the Josh Heupel's offense and the Tennessee offense wasn't doing what it used to do, you have that meeting behind closed doors. You hash it out with Josh Heupel. You say what you want to see. Josh Heupel comes back to you. You have a conversation about it. And if at the end of the meeting, you're not happy and satisfied with where the program and offense is at, then you can simply enter the transfer portal, no drama needed, and then go on your merry way. However, Nico went about it the public route, held out for practice, had this major drama scene while it's the last day of spring practice, and if it were about the offense and the playing style, that's not how you go about it. That's why it's, for a fact, it was not about the offense. It was about money. Nico was holding out to get more money, okay? So this narrative from Nico and his team that it was about the playing style and the offense is baloney. And I think that's just them trying to hide the fact that they took a major, major loss in this whole situation, okay? And like I said, folks, you can't overlook all of what Heupel has done offensively because last year was a bit of an outlier and it was a bit, you know, bizarre for that matter. But bottom line is, folks, he went to a way inferior team for way less money and a way worse offensive play style for Nico. All that to be chalked up as a big fat L, I would say, for Nico and his team. All right. So what did we learn from this situation? What did the college football world learn from the situation? And how did this situation set a precedent moving forward for NIL and this new world of college football? What is this going to say moving forward? I think, like I said to start the video, this shows the grass ain't always greener, folks. Okay. I think a lot of times players let teams and, you know, in this case, parents overinflate their sense of not necessarily talent, but sense of worth in the market of NIL. And I think they believe that they can get how money grows on trees in college football, according to them, I think. And they can go anywhere they want and somebody's going to pay them however much they want to get paid. Because I don't think they quite understand how much money truly is in NIL. NIL has shaped, you know, completely changed the world of college football. And programs like Texas and programs, you know, like Texas A&M and a lot of the SEC teams, you know, they do have a lot of resources. However, it's not infinite and not every program is Texas, okay? So, you know, Tennessee is an SEC program. However, you know, they're not, you know, like money ain't growing on trees up in Knoxville, and it's not a situation where they can just write blank checks to players, especially after they've already signed contracts. That's just not how it works, okay? So I don't know if this was a bit of a reality check to Nico and his team about how this world of reality actually works, but, you know, it's not a situation where, like I said, any team can just pay anybody they want just because they want to. It's not how it is, okay? So I think this showed that. And it's not always, you know, you really take a risk if you're Nico in this situation. He took a big risk. He left a great situation at Tennessee. You know how many college football players would die to be in Nico's position to be the starting quarterback at Tennessee, making $2 million a year? They would die to have that position. And Nico had it. But yet he thought the grass was greener on the other side and he can go somewhere and get more money, or Tennessee would budge and pay him more money. And he was wrong in both scenarios, okay? And now he's ended up at UCLA. So that Nico completely misread the situation that he was in, or the situation that was going to be after he, you know, went about going about that situation how he did and holding off from practice and all that nonsense. So the grass ain't always greener. You're not always going to get the money you want in the transfer portal. I think that was the main precedent and the main message that was sent from this situation. If you're going to go into the transfer portal and you're going to take this leap of faith, if you have a great situation somewhere where you're the starter at a major program like Tennessee and you're making money, good money, if you're going to take the risk to make more money, if that's what you want, you better be dang sure that that's going to pan out. You better be dang sure, because if you take that leap, there ain't no going back. And we saw it with Nico. He took that leap. He got about halfway. He may have been having second, you know, thoughts after he saw how the market was responding to him, and it was too late at that point. It was too late. Nico had already burnt that bridge with Tennessee. So that is the message I think needs to be sent to college football players out there. Do not take that leap of faith into the world of NIL and the transfer portal if you're not sure, if you're not dang sure, if you're not 100% sure it's going to play out and it's going to pan out for you. Because if you go, once you take that step, you burn that bridge, it's all done. There's no going back. And I think, unfortunately, that's what happened to Nico. And I feel bad for the kid. I feel bad for Nico because I think he was misled. I think he was taking bad advice from his team, his father, who his father was out there tweeting, calling reporters, you know, the B word after reporting on the story of Nico leaving Tennessee, and reports that truly ended up being true, that he was looking for more money. And now he's going out and trying to say it was because of the offense. It was because of yada, yada, yada. Nico's father, I think, completely hurt his son in this situation. And it's unfortunate for Nico. So I hope Nico can get better advice. And I hope Nico, moving forward at UCLA, can make wise decisions. And I hope he ends up having a great NFL career after his college career is over. But I'll say, in this situation, Nico lost. Nico for sure lost. Tennessee won. Tennessee took the short-term pain for long-term gain, I think. And I think Tennessee doing what they did and not budging to Nico and his father and the bullies, I think that helped the college football world, especially from the program side, take a sigh of relief, because I think players are going to look at how this situation panned out with Nico, and they're going to think twice before taking that big leap like Nico did. Because if it doesn't pan out for them like it didn't pan out for Nico, then you know there's no going back at that point. And you lost a lot of money on a worse team in a whole lot worse situation. So I hope moving forward, players can think twice about that. Well, folks, appreciate you tuning into this episode of Out of Right Field with JP. Like I said earlier, if you could please like and subscribe down below, we greatly appreciate that. Check out our other videos here at Right Side Media and see if you like it. And subscribe if you do. We greatly appreciate that. And until next time, I'll see you then.